change your past right now, but it can make it look as though that past never existed. He can make it look as though they look at Paul and say, was he the one murdering Christians? Was he the one doing this stuff? Listen, God can take a little and make a lot out of it. He'll take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and he'll feed 5,000 with it. I'll tell you, that's how great.
From the Lord, and I feel like God's given me a message. And if you have your Bible, Psalm 23, most of you may be able to quote it, but Psalm chapter 23, and I'm going to just read through the whole chapter. Psalm chapter number 23, and when you find that, if you're physically able to and willing, would you stand today in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Amen. Psalm chapter number 23. Give you a minute to turn there. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 23, going to start reading at verse number 1. If you've got it, say amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning, what you've done last night, for the souls that have come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus, for those that have received the spirit of adoption. Father, we thank you. And God, we thank you for your presence this morning. God, the worship, the expressive worship, God, we praise you, Lord, that we're able to worship you freely in this place and in this nation. God, we thank you for your presence that dwells with us and that goes before us. God, I pray that you will anoint me to speak a word in season to your people. God, not on the enticing words of man's wisdom, but Father, in the demonstration of your love, your power, your spirit and anointing, clothe me with humility, hide me behind the cross, that everything that is said and done, Father, will be under the honor and glory of your sweet, precious, and holy name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says amen. Amen. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. Today I want to talk about this subject, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, in the church today, we have a lot of titles in the church, especially in ministry. Bishop, doctor, apostle, pastor, evangelist. You know, we used to kid around in Bible college. We'd walk around, how you doing, apostle? I'm doing pretty good. Bishop, how are you? You know, we used to do that all the time. But to us, it was just a funny way of title to make you feel good. It carries a status. It carries a label in it to try to build you up, you know, build your esteem a little bit. Cause we was little poor kids in the dorm. So we needed something to build our faith up. Amen. But anyway, the most forsaken title is the word shepherd. The shepherd of the house. The shepherd of this nation, the shepherd. It's a forsaken title, but it's an overlooked title. And because it's a title that is missing, it indicates that it's a label, it's a position that is not being applied anymore. It's the most forsaken position, but yet it is the most needed in the body of Christ, the word shepherd. We have a lot of churches, but we don't have enough shepherds. We have a lot of pastors making a lot of money, but we don't have a lot of shepherds. We don't have a lot of people trying to take people under their wings and show them the truth of God's word. We need shepherds in our homes. We need shepherds in our schools. We need shepherds in our churches. We need shepherds in government. We've got to have shepherds. Amen. We have become a shepherdless generation and a shepherdless nation. Amen. We have forsaken that title. Let me give you an example of the home. I know Joe was telling last night, he said, well, I don't have enough time to get into the fatherless home and go into statistics. Well, I've got time, so I'm going to talk about it. Amen. I want to illustrate to you on this Father's Day the importance
of having a shepherd in the home. Statistics. Now listen to me. I list statistics, but you don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to be a statistic because you fall in a generation X or Y or Z doesn't mean you're labeled that, doesn't mean you're bound to that. But through Christ Jesus, you can break those labels and those barriers out of your way and off of your life. Amen. But anyway, from statistics of children from broken homes, 4.6 times more likely to commit suicide, 6.6 times more likely to become teenage mothers, 24.3 times more likely to run away, 15.3 times more likely to have behavioral disorders, 6.3 times more likely to be in a state-operated institution, 10.8 times more likely to commit rape, 6.6 times more likely to drop out of school, and 15.3 times more likely to end up in prison while a teenager. Those are just a few. Why? Because as Joe was talking last night, when you don't have a shepherd or you don't have a father in the home, it brings such a backlash. You lose your identity if you don't have a father, a stable figure in your life. And I quoted it last night in closing service, 1 Corinthians 4:15. We have 10,000 instructors, but not enough fathers. We need spiritual fathers and mothers. We need natural fathers and mothers to rise and take a stand, not run away from their position, not run away from their calling, but do exactly what God's calling them to do. Because you can have a child doesn't make you a father. Because you can have a child doesn't make you a mother. It's taking that role that God has designed for you to receive and instill and train up a child in the way they should go. Lord have mercy. Is this all right for anybody? Hallelujah. A shepherd is a man who takes care of the sheep. A person who cares for, guides, feeds, and protects the sheep. He's a spiritual guide. He's a friend. He's a companion. Amen. Praise God. And what you got to understand, and here's a verse for you. Matthew 20:28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus considered himself the good shepherd. I'll talk about more about that in just a little bit. But something you got to understand, a lot of us in the church, we've come to be served. This is not a self-centered Christianity. This is a self-denial Christianity. A lot of people come to church, and when they come to outings or outreaches, they've come to get something. That's what the church is anymore of America. Well, we're coming to church because they're giving us free food. We're coming to church because we're going to get this or going to get that or something of that nature. We're always looking at me, give me, give me, give me. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Jesus said, I've come not to be served, but to serve. But he was the Son of God who was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Yet he's the one that says, hey, don't serve me. I've come to serve you. I've come to lay my life down for you because that's what a shepherd does. I'm not, because I've got a title doesn't mean I can't serve somebody. I'll come and wash your feet if I have to. What'd he tell him? He said, listen, we've done foot washings back at churches many times. Listen, we've got stories to share. And if you've ever been a part of them, you've got stories to share too. Amen. I'm not going to share them because I'm being recorded. Amen. We'll leave that to the imagination. Ask me after church. Amen. But you know, Jesus said, I'm coming, going to wash your feet. And he took the disciples and started washing their feet. Amen. And you begin to think the Son of God is washing something they walk on in their sandals or bare feet every day. And Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. No. You're Jesus. You're the Messiah. I'm not going to wash your feet. He said, if I can't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. And he said, well, then, Lord, don't wash my feet, wash my hair, wash my face, wash my hands. Wash everything about me because I want to be fully part of you. But this is what he said, and this is something we overlook in that scripture, is that he told him, he said, do this to each other also. You don't read in the recordings where they ever wash each other's feet to my knowledge, but they may have done it. We don't really know. But the point I want to make is this. He did that to serve them. He said, listen, I'm humbling myself. I'm washing you. I want you to know you're part of me. That's what the shepherd is to the flock. He's part of them. Too many times we have pastors won't even associate with their members. They go having an entourage around them all the time, having to escort them everywhere because they're too good, because they don't want somebody to take their anointing or take up their time. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, have to be escorted in a limo everywhere they go, treated like royalty, and people have to buy their food and feed them and do this and do that. Do everything for them. Have no independence about them. Not serving people. Not reaching out to people. It's all about them. We've got to strip ourselves of this kind of Christianity. This is not of God, and it's not going to get anywhere in the kingdom. This is an upside down kingdom. The pastors have to be the best givers. My Lord. Leadership has to set the example. They have to humble themselves. If you're a leader, you're not to be praised on a pedestal. It's time we come down off our ladder and get to where the people are. We're chasing too many pulpits and not chasing people. There's too many broken people out on these streets, lost without God. That we don't need to act like we're better than anybody else. We're called to be shepherds, church. Shepherds of our homes. Shepherds of our businesses. Hallelujah. Caring for the flock. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mark this down. I said this last night. I want to keep record of this. There is coming a revival in this region that is going to absolutely shake this nation. And I know that. It's coming. It's a matter of time. I'm already thinking of ways, how can we prepare ourselves as a church for when this happens? I'm already thinking, what do we got to do if we outgrow the building before the new building gets built? What are we going to do? You know, we've already talked about that in meetings. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, we're already preparing for that. He said, well, not every seat's filled up. You got to have vision. You got to see it before it happens. Amen. But anyway, something we got to understand is we've got to have shepherds ready to mentor these ones that get saved. Job prophesied it by the help of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, said last night, there are going to be people come in this place that are going to be people that are not your typical Christians. They're not going to even tithe. They're not going to really give much. They're just going to be babies in the faith. And what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to take them under your arm. You're going to have to be a mentor to them. Because some of them are fatherless. Some of them are motherless. Some of them don't even know what it means to be saved or what it means to be born again. They don't understand that. But that's where we come in. We've got to have shepherds already in place waiting, because there's too many people sitting idly by because they think, well, if I can't sing and if I can't preach and if I can't play an instrument, then God don't have a calling for me. We got to get out of that mindset and get God out of the box and realize there's more to this than just that. Amen. There's more. We need shepherds. We need people. We need to prepare for a women's clinic where we have people in this church who are nurses that will sacrifice time and will say, we're going to take these women who are contemplating aborting their baby, who want to take an ultrasound. We're going to mentor them. We're going to show them. You don't hear me this morning. And they're going to look at that ultrasound and they're going to say, man, that's a son, that's a daughter. I can't abort that child. And we're going to nurture them. We're going to show them how to be mothers, and we're going to show them how to be fathers. We're going to teach them. There's coming a day where a Christian school is going to be in this region. People are going to come. People are going to come. Things are going to happen. We just got to keep on having a vision. Keep on working. We'll have people in place when these people get saved. Hundreds get saved and revival comes and sweeps this region where we can't even fit them in this building. And it's standing room only. And we've got to understand what we're going to do. We're going to have shepherds in place. What they call it, maybe even life groups. I don't know. That's a city term for it now. But you go and say, we're going to have these small settings. You can come to my home. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to teach you the word. We got to get to that place. My Lord have mercy. The revival's coming. Hallelujah. God's waiting on us. God's waiting on us. The calling of a shepherd has been belittled because a lot of times when you're a true shepherd, you don't get the money or the entitlement. In fact, in the biblical times, shepherd position was belittled. Amos 7 and 14 and 15 says, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. He was attending the sheep. He said, I wasn't a prophet. I didn't go to a school of the prophets. I didn't go to Bible college. I was just abiding in the field. I was flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, and all of a sudden God said, go prophesy. Okay, Lord, I'll lay it down and I'll go prophesy to your people and speak your word. But it's oftentimes belittled. But this is what you got to understand. A shepherd, and I might get into this more in a little bit too. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But he said, I was following the flock. Shepherds lead from behind. They don't lead out ahead. Because if they're out ahead of the flock, they can't watch them. But if they're... God Almighty, we're about to get somewhere. He said this in John 10. He said, I go before them because I'm the good shepherd. He goes before you. Hallelujah. In other words, he had already been where he was taking the flock. That's why he can lead from behind. He already saw the pasture. He already saw the still water. That's why he's behind the flock. I'm watching you. I'm making sure you don't fall in that pit. I'm making sure you don't start wandering away. I'm not leading ahead. I'm leading from behind. When he says he goes before you, God is in every moment of your life. Hallelujah. He's in every moment, as Joe was talking about last night. He's in every moment of your life. Amen. Your past, it's already done, but you can change your future. Your decisions dictate your future. But God goes before you. That means he's already in your future. He's already in your tomorrow before you ever get there. Are you with me, church? That's why you show up and you're having problems with your vehicle and you're like, I don't understand why I'm going through this. And all of a sudden it starts, everything's going good. You get down the road and there's a wreck. Last year we was on our church. On our way to church, I had to preach over in Pennington Gap, and we was on our way to church, and we was about a second away from having a head-on collision. A woman had a seizure right in front of us. It was just about a second off, and it came and started rolling beside our vehicle and behind. I could see her rolling in our rearview mirror. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. We was an hour late for church. We turned around. I said, I'm not leaving until I know these people are all right. This woman had a seizure, had a baby in the back car seat, and I don't know how many tumbles they took. I couldn't count them. We turned around, went to the car. They broke the back glass, got the baby out because it smelled like the vehicle was going to catch on fire. And they got the baby out. Didn't have a scratch on it. It wasn't even crying. She had a seizure. They took her to the hospital, got home the same day. I said, my Lord, have mercy. What if we'd have hit them head on? What would have happened? Maybe that 1 second we was just running just a second late and God spared us and protected us. Amen. Because he goes before you. He goes before you. He's protecting you from things you may not even know, that you may not ever see. There's some things you've seen, but there's some things you don't see because he's already before you. He's going before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going before you. You say, well, God can't change my past, but he was there in every moment. It's what forged you and made you who you are today. Learning from those heartbreaks, learning from those pains. I seen Joe up here shouting and people saying, man, he's looking crazy up there. It's crazy Joe up there shout. He said, I shouted more last night than I have in 5 years. I'm going to be wake up sore. I told Curtis after church, I said, well, if people had been what he's been through, then they might have a dance and a shout like that dance and shout. You can have a crazier praise when you've been through some crazy stuff. Amen. When God's brought you through that much, hallelujah, you got something to praise God for. But listen, God may not be able to change your past right now, but he can make it look as though that past never existed. He can make it look as though they look at Paul and say, was he the one murdering Christians? Was he the one doing this stuff? Listen, God can take a little and make a lot out of it. He'll take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and he'll feed 5,000 with it. I'm telling you, that's how great. Hallelujah. I began to think of begin to think of David. Hallelujah, this little shepherd boy. And we were talking about him last night. I'm telling you, this was like this message flowed from last night. But I seen about David. He was in the field. His seven older brothers was there before Samuel the prophet. He looked at Eliab because King Saul had been demoted from his position spiritually, and a new king was to arise, and it was to be of the sons of Jesse. And the oldest came. He was a warrior. The three oldest sons, they fought in the battlefield. They were warriors in Saul's army. But he went to Eliab, and the oldest came through, and Eliab went through, and he said, man, surely this is the anointed. Surely this is the anointed. Why? Because his mind went to Saul when he anointed Saul. Because he was the tallest. He was the strongest. He was head and shoulders taller than anybody else in the entire nation. Surely he's going to be king because he bears the same features as Saul. But he said, no. No, not today. He said, man looks at the appearance, but I look at the heart. You better keep on looking. Better keep on looking. Amen. And he went through the whole thing, and not one of them was. He said, do you have any more kids? God told me it was one of your sons. Now, do you have any more? He said, well, there's one in the fields, and you sure don't want him. You don't sure want that shepherd. No, he is so belittled. He don't even fight for Saul's army. He's got sheep dung between his toes. He's nasty. He's ugly. You don't want him. He's the youngest. You don't want him. He's rowdy. You can't control him. Can't do anything with him. He said, no, bring him to me now. Brought him to him, and there he was, and God said, this is the one. And it said, he anointed him, and from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Hallelujah. He went from tending a sheep to tending a nation. And you want to know why? Because everything that he went through was a preparation to step up to the next level. I believe some people is going to accept the calling, I pray, of a shepherd this morning. I pray that some people will step into that role and step in that calling. Because when he was fighting the lion and he was fighting the bear, all defending that flock, keeping his eye all through the night and trying to watch and make sure nothing would happen to his flock as he was watching and protecting them from wolves and bear and lions, it prepared him for that Philistine giant. Saul even tried to put his own armor on him. He said, I can't even try this. How can I use this stuff? Shed it off. And said, I'm taking my shepherd's bag, I'm taking my slingshot, I'm taking my stones, I'm taking a rod and a staff, and I'm going to the battlefield. I bet Saul was a little nervous. How's he going to take almost a 10-foot giant, about as tall as a basketball goal, and wide as a semi truck, and go out here and go out and do this? But he did. He had enough practice on that shot to know God was going to guide it every step of the way, because that's your shepherd's equipment right there. Hallelujah. Your rod represents discipline. It represents a testimony. Amen. That's what it represents. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It was the rod. Amen. That's why I said your rod and staff, they comfort me, because the rod protects the sheep from a close range, and then the staff makes the shepherd stable as he walks. And then if a sheep is in a pit and he can't grab it, he'll take his staff and he'll reach down and he will pull it out. Because that staff represents prayer. Prayer is your stability. And that rod represents your testimony, amen, of what God's done for you and where God's brought you from. That's how you defend the flock. Amen. That bag represents the word of God, and those stones in that bag represents the scriptures. Hallelujah. Because he's, listen, this giant's coming me, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me, I condemn it. That's what we need to understand. We don't just read the word to read it. We read it to pray it, to decree a thing that it'll be established unto us. Hallelujah. Psalm 23. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is the shepherd of our soul. Amen. When he is my shepherd, I don't want, I don't need anything else, because he's all that I need. Amen. He's all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Try to find a scripture here right quick. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 says, now the God of peace that brought again the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus, through his blood, he's become our shepherd. Through his sacrifice, because you've got to be able to sacrifice of yourself
amen, in order to be a shepherd. It's not about you. It's about the sheep. It's about those you're discipling. It's about those you're mentoring. John 10, 11 through 18. Let me read these verses of scripture right quick. John 10, 11 through 18. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. Are you with me? But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, see the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches him and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. A shepherd is a calling. A hireling is a career choice. Some people look at ministry as a career and a paycheck and admonition from people. It's about being in front, they think. It's about being seen. It's about being known. No, what you're dealing with is a Jezebel spirit. Come on now I'm talking. A lot of people think, well, Jezebel's there. That's somebody wearing makeup. No, are you kidding me? Get out of that wicked, wicked, self-proclaimed holiness mindset. Amen. That's garbage. You know what? That's not even Bible. People don't understand. She dictated and she controlled the king. That's why she was evil. To worship these false gods through perversion. It's controlling. It's a spirit of control. It's a problem with our nation. We want to control everybody. Shepherd's not about controlling people. He's caring. He's laying his life down. It's not a career choice. Jesus said, well, I'm going to be a career as a savior, so I'm going to come down and save everybody. No, he said, I'm laying my life down. I'm not going to be born in a palace. I'm going to a place where I'm going to a barnyard. There's not even room enough for me in the inn to hold me. I'm so poor. My family's so poor. He was born in poverty. He was born in a mess, the Bible says, so we could be made rich, so we could have life, so we could be protected, so we could be nurtured and cared for and blessed. It's because He is the shepherd of our soul. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need true shepherds. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. That's a command to the elders and leaders and those who are shepherds. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, meaning having vision of them, not by constraint, but willingly. You're not forced to do this. This is a choice. Choice. Not for filthy liquor, but of a ready mind. Amen. Sorry. Filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Amen. You're not a shepherd to get a paycheck or for your vain good, but you got to be a ready mind to help those that are in need. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. God's people, God's flock, that's His inheritance. That is His heritage. When you're a shepherd, you've got that position over them. You need to understand that is designated from God. When you are a shepherd, a father, or a parent over your home, you're a shepherd over that home. Amen. You're not Lord as in controlling over God's heritage, but you're in samples to the flock. You lead by example. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Ezekiel 34 talks about false shepherds. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, he talks about false shepherds. It talks about shepherds who don't care for the flock. They're just there to get paid, and they're not even feeding the flock. They're feeding themselves. Hallelujah. Always feeding ourselves all the time. We got to be careful of that stuff. He said, listen, he said, because we have so many false shepherds, he told him, he said, I will be shepherd over the nation of Israel. I will lead them. I don't want anything. I just want to care for them. I just want to nurture them. I just want to love them like a shepherd should, because it's an intimate relationship. Amen. Bible says, a sheep hears my voice and a stranger they follow not. John 10. Okay. What you got to understand is Eastern shepherds in biblical times named their sheep like we would name dogs or cats today and have pets. That's how they would name their sheep. Okay? So they knew their sheep by name. So when a sheep was lost, it would come, he would come looking and call out their name. He knows your name. He knows your name. That's why in Luke 15, when the Bible says that one sheep was lost, the shepherd said, man, where's he gone? What's happened? He left the 99 and he went searching for the one, calling in the wilderness that one name, calling, hoping to hear its cry, because a sheep will not go after a stranger. They know who their master is. They know who oversees them. They know. And when a shepherd's calling their name, they know. A shepherd knows how many's in the flock. They know every detail about it. But when he finds a sheep, he carries it on its back and carries it back home to nurture, to nourishment. Amen. Praise God. Tending to it. Amen. I believe Isaiah 40, the Bible says that he'll carry it on his bosom. He'll carry it. He'll hold on to it with all his might, not letting it go, because that's how God is to us. He is our shepherd. He cares for us. Hallelujah. He cares for us. But we got to hear his voice and not follow after a stranger. Amen. Is this all right for anybody? Hallelujah. Psalm 23:2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Amen. It goes back to what I said a minute ago, and I said I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. A shepherd has vision. They've already seen the land. They've already seen the water. And that's where they're taking the sheep. Amen. Listen, we don't have a building out here just yet, but it's coming, because the shepherd of this house has already saw it. Amen. We're just going with the flow. We're just getting on in the vision and going. That's the only way you can give to something and sacrifice for something, is when you know it's going for vision. Your God can only go as far as your vision will allow him to go. If you limit your vision, you limit your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people perish. That's why so many churches are empty and so many people are dying. Lost is because we've lost our vision. We've got God in a box. God's got to do it this way, any other way. It ain't of God. If there's no change, there's no growth. We've got to have vision. Vision is faith. Habakkuk chapter 2. Amen. Write the vision down. Make it plain that he that reads it may run with it. We got to write it down. Beginning this year, I wrote goals of what I wanted to see done. And this year, I said, Lord, I want to see 500 souls saved. And when we began this year, we started the home church back in Virginia. And I told the church, I want to see 500 souls saved this year. You could hear a pin drop. I got, there ain't no faith in that. I said, I don't care if you don't believe me or not. I mean, I said it. They were there. I don't care if you don't believe me. I know it's going to happen. And we just hit 1,000. And we ain't even halfway through the year. Don't limit your God. Don't limit your vision. Write it down. Decree a thing that it may be established unto you. Decree, God, I want the gifts of healing in my hand. Speak over your children. You want to be a prophet unto this nation. You want to be a prophet to this generation. Decree it so it can be established. Write it down. Make it plain. Be clear in thought. Be clear in mind. Got to have an X-ray vision. Amen. When I broke my hip, I think I may have told the story here or not. I broke my hip. Doctor said I would never be able to walk again. Amen. But when that happened, all these x-rays and stuff going on, and I remember after they did the surgery, my first time back up there, going up back to the doctor after having surgery and going through all this stuff, I seen them all them bolts and that plate in my hip, like 4 or 5 bolts and a plate and all this stuff in my hip, and I was thinking, man, that's a mess, you know. But when they first said, they said, you'll never walk again. And I said, well, I believe God, he's going to come through for me. Everything's going to be all right. It was a nasty situation. Brandon was by my side the whole time. He remembers. But you know, x-ray vision. On the outside, you think, hey, Justin's going okay. But I've got a scar on my leg that says, hey, I've been through some stuff. Sometimes you got some scars in your emotions that you've been through some stuff. You see where you're at now. Well, you look like you got it all together. You look like your song, your message, you got it going on. But you don't know what I've been through to get this that I have. But an x-ray vision shows exactly what I've been through. An x-ray vision will show beyond the outside of things, but it'll show the inside.
We gotta have x-ray vision. We can't see what we are now. We gotta see where we're going. We gotta catch it. And when we read it, we've got to run with it. It's like a baton. Don't drop the vision. Run with it. Run with it. Amen. When you're getting ready to exchange the baton, you gotta be in this circle. And you gotta be ready to catch it. Transfer it right in the right place at the right time. If you drop your baton, you're disqualified. If you're outside of your designated place, you're disqualified. Amen. You've got to catch the vision and you've got to go forward farther. Listen, we're not going to be in here forever. We're not. Pastor Odie, I believe God's got a great word for his church and ministry. But guess what? In 100 years from now, Odie's not going to be pastor of this church. And if he is, it's going to be a miracle. You know what I'm saying? But somebody down the road's going to have to catch Odie's vision and say, Odie, you've done a great work. God is pleased. But I'm going to take this thing further than you've ever been or could ever imagine. We've got to have visionaries. We got to have shepherds. Hallelujah. Got to have shepherds. Hallelujah. Praise God. Write it down. Make it plain that he that reads it may run with it. It's for an appointed time. And at the end it shall speak for itself. You know what that means? When vision becomes manifestation into reality, it'll preach its own message. You don't have to preach it. You don't have to testify it. I remember when he was up at World Harvest, Pastor Parsley talking about how when they were in the first building, they had 19 people and all these empty chairs. And really, honestly, it was probably about the size of this building. But it was had about 19 people that was going to the church because one of our classes was in the original church. He would go and walk to empty chairs and pull empty pews and shake people's hands, and nobody's sitting there, everybody thinking he's crazy. He said, I'm already speaking and declaring that we're going to have these seats full. And he would start shaking the hands of the, like there was somebody there. And before you know it, there was a boom. Amen. Before you know it, now you got 5,000 people. Amen. And then you still have to get phone chairs out from time to time. You know what I'm saying? God does that stuff, but it comes with a vision. You don't have to preach that now. It speaks for itself. The vision will speak for itself when it comes. But we've got to have shepherds that will also join along that vision. Shepherds over these ministries. Shepherds over these outreaches that are to come in the months to come. We've been talking. I'm telling you, God's about to do some amazing stuff. Amen. But we're going to have to, one or two people can't do it. Just three people can't do it. Amen. We got to have a team. We are a team. We are a body. Some of you are going to be called to do some great things for God as part of this church. Amen. It might be in a certain type of ministry that you don't even know yet. Maybe it's a ministry for addicts that's going to come in the short months to come. You just don't know, but you better prepare yourself and get ready. Pursue your passion. That's where it's at. Pursue your passion. If God's gave you a passion for something, that's what you pursue. Amen. And use it for the glory of God. Amen. Let's continue. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd is a physician. The shepherd has to know when a shepherd is hurt, if it breaks its leg, if it hurts itself, he's going to have to know how to nourish that thing back to health. He restores my soul. That's what David was saying. But shepherd, and he would know all about this, he has to restore the soul, the mind, the body of the flock. Amen. That's what we've got to do. Amen. We've got to discern when people are in need. We are missing discernment in the body of Christ. We think anything that shakes, shouts, bucks, runs, and rolls on the floor is of the Holy Ghost. It's not. We're having a lot more counterfeit now than ever before. Amen. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Some of you may not. That's okay. But I know what I'm talking about. Amen. We've got to have discernment. It's the lost gift that needs to come back. We've got to discern. We can't let anything behind this pulpit. We can't let anything sing. We can't let anything shout. We got to make sure it's what God wants. Discernment. In the name of the Holy Ghost, get it out of here. We don't need it. Amen. I said, we don't need, I just want God. It's like they say, I just want his presence. Just give me Jesus. Just give me his glory. Lord have mercy. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You know, there were times the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep.
If you'll study, you'll find out that at times at night when he's leading them, they'll go into the entrance of like a cave or something. And he'll lead them right into there, and they will sit there, and the shepherd will sit there all night guarding the opening to that cave. A shepherd's a watchman. We're called to be watchmen, ain't we? Ezekiel 33, 3 through 7. God told Ezekiel, he said, if you see trouble coming unto the land, he said, if you see it coming, he said, you sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. And if the people refuse to respond to the alarm and they die, blood's on their hands. But if you see trouble and you don't declare it and it comes, amen. He said, then blood is on your hand. And that's where the shepherd was. He said, if I don't try to protect these sheep, amen, it's going to be on blood on my hand. But I'm going to guard these sheep because sheep are defenseless animals. They can't do everything on by themselves. But a shepherd knows how to protect the sheep. If a wolf attacks a sheep is not going to claw it to death. A sheep is not going to bite its ear off or anything. It's defenseless. It can't do anything. You know, but a shepherd protects the sheep. And he'll sit there all night watching to make sure. Amen. Psalm 121 and 3, the Bible says, our shepherd, he doesn't sleep. And he doesn't slumber. Our God's not asleep. He's up watching for you. He's awake watching you. He's keeping his eye on you. You may say, where are you at, God? He said, I'm right here. I'm watching you. Every step of the way. Amen. Our God is a watchman. Same way we have to be watchmen for our brothers and sisters. If there's trouble coming, we need to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, hey, son, hey, daughter, watch out. The devil has a trap. You got to understand. You got to know. Amen. If they fall and we don't say anything, then we're held accountable to that. We've got some churches in America that's won more people to hell than to heaven. Oh, Lord have mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. We know it's true. When you're leading people through tradition and killing the move of God, and you're teaching things that compromise the Word of God, then you got to look at yourself and say, man, I'm not doing what God's called me to do. We've got to be shepherds. We're not hirelings where we're paid for it. We're not false shepherds. We're His shepherd. We're being His example. Amen. We're leading by example. Give me just a few minutes and I'll try to wrap this thing up. He said, the valley of the shadow of death, because it's in the valley where the bear and the lion and everything rode. Everybody said, Lord, I'm just down here in the valley. We got all these songs in the world. Lord, get me out of the valley. I want to see the sun again. Lord, I'm just trying to make it through this stormy valley, God. Just trying to make it through. Lord, lift up my head. From whence cometh my help? In the time of trouble, you know, that's where we're at. That's not vision. That's not hope. We've got to learn to praise through our problem. We've got to learn to worship through everything we're going through. I've heard enough of the valley. Get me to the shepherd. I know if I'm in the valley, I'm in the mountain. I don't care if it's a roller coaster ride. As long as he leads me, I know I'm going to be all right. As long as he's following me, as long as he's defending me, as long as I've got his rod and my staff on, or his staff on my side, I know I'm going to be okay. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to be okay. He's a father to the fatherless. Amen. He's a help to those in need. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. David got a table prepared when he got announced as king. And all them brothers that were jealous and full of hate and spite against him, God said, here you go, David. Eat from my table. Eat from my table. I'll feed you. Because a shepherd is a provider. He's a visionary. He's a watchman. Amen. He's a provider. He'll provide for you. He'll provide food. He'll provide nourishment that you need. He'll provide food on your table. He'll lift you up and exalt you. And all your enemies look and be jealous and say, listen, they'll talk about you, you know. Hey, you'll be jealous of my blessing all you want to, but I'm still blessed because God's with me. Maybe if you get God with you too, you might just be blessed. Amen. People will talk about you no matter how kind of life you live. You can be the worst sinner, the best Christian. Amen. It doesn't matter. People are going to talk about you and find some kind of little nitpick thing to find fault in you. But while they're looking at everybody else and trying to judge and condemn people, you're blessed. You're winning souls. You're doing great things for God. God's opening doors. God's moving for your life, taking you to a new dimension, taking you to a new level. Amen. And they're still stuck in the same place their whole time where God is nowhere. They think God's there, but God ain't there. God's too big to fit in your little box.
What did Solomon say? He said, Lord, the heavens can't even contain you. How are you going to even come in this temple? And what did he do? He came in there so strong the people fell down on their face before God. The ministers couldn't even stand to minister. God's presence can move just like that even this morning. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. The sheep would go and they would have something attack sheep, what was called a nasal fly. A nasal fly would come into the sheep's nose, get up into the mucous membrane, and lay eggs right in there. And it would cause, and eventually it would begin to cause irritation right on their brain and their head. Severe irritation. And you know what sheep would start doing? They would start bumping their heads upon rocks, trees, and other sheep, causing damage to the sheep's brain, to its head, to its body. And so a shepherd had a special ointment they would put on the sheep's head to cure the irritation. So when David was saying, you anoint my head with oil, he was saying, even when flies surround my head to irritate me to death and try to plant these little seeds in my mind to try to tempt me and destroy me, you put your anointing right on my mind. Oh, son, the Holy Ghost has got my mind, oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost got my mind. We need the Holy Ghost to get our mind back. Amen. That anointing would cover the sheep's head. It would take care of all them temptations, all that irritation, all that agitation. We need the shepherd right now to anoint our heads with his anointing. Say, when you anointed the head of somebody, you're saying, hey, you've been consecrated. You've been called to a holy purpose in me. Amen. We are consecrated unto God. We need to quit bumping our heads with other sheep. Through jealous and division and confusion. Amen. If they go to another church building, so be it. So many times they offer other church members, come to our revival, come to our youth rally. Amen. And we're always trying to bag each other's sheep. That ain't the way it works, folks. There's too many people lost to be competing with everybody else. You can visit, that's fine. Stay where you feel comfortable. Amen. Stay with your flock. But I'm going for the lost. Give me a vision for the lost sheep. Vision for the lost sheep. Amen. Praise God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, as I said, a shepherd leads from behind. Humility. Servant. So he can keep his eye. He knows where he's going. To keep his eye on all the sheep to make sure none wanders. Because you know what a sheep does? It has its nose to the ground. It don't know where it's going. It's just looking at the grass. There's another spot of grass. There's another. Oh, that looks good. They don't know where they're going. They have no idea. They're always with their nose looking down because that's where the food is and that's what they're going for. Okay? But see, what you've got to understand, a shepherd, amen, is following. And the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life because he's good and merciful. And he's following me. He's behind me. He's leading me from behind. Amen. He's not all about being seen and being up front, being known. He just says, I just want to make sure you're doing okay. I just want to make sure you're all right. Amen. Praise God. And his goodness, his mercy that is everlasting. The Bible says he's rich in goodness. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He'll follow me. And he said, all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He wasn't talking about a building. God himself was that house. The shepherd was that house. Whether I'm in the pasture, I'm going beside still waters, I'm down in the valley, it doesn't matter where I'm at, he is with me and I'll be in his presence forever. Because as long as I'm with the shepherd, everything's going to be all right. But if I start wandering aimlessly and doing my thing my way, I can make a mess of things. See, listen, I want the praise and worship team to come and get you a chance to pray. Close this thing down now. But something I want you to understand. I want to give an altar call to a couple things this morning. First of all, the call of the shepherd. And secondly, the call of the sheep. Because there might be some sheep here today that have been wandering aimlessly. They're solitary. They're lonely. You can be by yourself for many reasons. Maybe because you feel condemned and unworthy.
Maybe you're wandering aimlessly because you thought, hey, the grass was greener on the other side. Who knows? But you're going doing your thing your way, and it's making a mess of your life. And now you're like, God, where you at? I'm surrounded by darkness. I'm surrounded by hardship. I'm surrounded by pain. Amen. But God is here for you today. He's here to give you hope. He's here to give you life. He's here to give you vision. Jesus said, I've come to lay my life down for the sheep. Because that's what a shepherd does. They'll fight it for you. They'll fight the giant. They'll fight the bear, the lion. They'll fight it for you. Amen. They'll fight it for you. Praise God. He'll fight your battles this morning if you let him. He'll fight anything you're going through. He'll help you through it. He'll give you nourishment. Amen. Don't try to figure it out yourself. He's calling out to you today. He's calling your name. Amen. Some of you may have wondered and said, God, I just feel lonely. I feel isolated. I don't feel like I have a friend in the world. Maybe you feel like I'm alone because I feel unworthy. Or maybe you feel alone because of some sin that keeps condemning your life. Amen. But you can find healing in the arms of the shepherd. You can find hope in the arms of a loving father. He loves you today. Hallelujah. He loves you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're part of the flock today. You're part of the flock of God this morning. The church anymore has become a clique where everybody's in their own group and hanging out. And we're not with everybody together. We got to quit this abandonment. We've got to put a stop to these cliques. We've got to love people in the kingdom. Because there's no one here better than anybody else. The shepherd doesn't see himself better than the flock. He's just a leader following the example of Jesus Christ. There's no better leader, amen, than Jesus. There's no better footsteps to follow than Jesus. That he was wounded for my transgression. Hallelujah. Shepherds got to be willing to lay their life down for the flock. Amen. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. That's a loving God to me. It's a God who loves me. To die for me, little old me, worthless me, the same body that's going to go into the dirt, into the ground. God died for me. That's a great God, folks. That's a great God. Hallelujah. That's a great God. So I want to give a couple altar calls this morning. And let's do it like this. I want everyone to stand across this building. Hallelujah. Some of you may feel like that lost sheep. Abandoned, lonely, not a friend in the world. No plan, no purpose. That's not our God, folks. If you're close with the shepherds, you won't feel like that. You'll feel direction. You'll know God is watching after you because you're part of his flock. You're his child. You'll feel his arms to embrace you. You'll feel his healing power to mend those wounds and that brokenness in your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything else because he said, I'll supply all of your need. Not needs, need. Because Jesus is all you need. Corn to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's here for you. You've been wandering aimlessly. Thought the grass was greener on the other side. Maybe you just thought it was better out there in the world and you've lost direction and now you're confused and now you don't know what to do. This is a good place to join the flock and choose God as the shepherd of your life. Secondly, there may be someone in this place that has abandoned the call of the shepherd. God has been calling you into ministries that you have forsaken because you felt like you were too young or you felt like you were not good enough. Or maybe you've abandoned it because really just because of fear. God's not given us the spirit of fear. If he lives within you, if he rests with you, if he abides with you, then you know he's got your back and he's in control.
He's in control. Maybe you've forsaken the office of a shepherd in your home, your business. You say, I've got to step up and I've got to fill this role. I've got to have discernment to know when my child's hurting. I've got to know to speak blessing rather than curses. It's time to receive the call of a shepherd. So this morning, if you feel like God is calling you to be a shepherd, God is calling you to join the flock of God, would you? And when I say shepherd, I don't mean you're going to overthrow and take a pastor position. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying God's called leaders to step up. We're called to lead. We're called to lead. We're called to lead. Amen. Me, I'm called to lead our young people. That's what I'm going to do with all my heart. I told Jessica last night, I said, man, well, I've got the best group of kids. I don't think I could have a better group of young kids to be youth pastor. I am so blessed, and I've never been more fulfilled in the ministry than I am now. But I feel like I'm a shepherd. I feel like there's going to come a day when some young boy is going to come to me and say, Justin, I feel like God's put a call to preach on my life. And I'm going to say, well, here you go. We're going to train you up. You feel a calling to sing. You feel a calling to music. You want to worship. Well, we're going to put you with the right people. We want to show you how this works. Amen. You feel like God's wanting you to be a shepherd of your ball team. Well, I'm going to show you how to do it because I was there one time. Amen. While other players were joining each other in parties, I was taking my whole ball team to church service. Because I'm a shepherd. My dad always taught me, instilled in me when I was little. He said, you are called to lead. Don't you follow the crowd. You're called to lead. He instilled that in us. And I'll never forget that. He instilled that. He pumped that in us. You're not joining and doing what everybody else wants to do. You're called to lead. We're called to lead this morning. Would you step out of your seat? Would you make your way to this altar? If you're feeling the call of a shepherd in some area of your life, family, ministry, work, home, would you come? Would you come if you feel like that sheep that's been wandering aimlessly with no direction, abandoned and lonely? Would you come to this altar and pray? Amen. Would you pray? Amen. Would you come? If you want to pray standing, if you want to pray at this altar, the altar is open for every need in this house. But let's all take a few minutes and find a place and pray. Would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah. Would you come? Hallelujah. He's calling out to you. Would you come? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.